Well, good morning. It is good to have each one of you with us today. If you would take your hymn book, please turn to page number 8. We're going to sing all three verses. Great is thy faithfulness. Page number 8. Let's sing it out together on that first verse.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Want to welcome you to the services this morning. You're joining us online. We're certainly glad that you are. And so this is a little bit strange, but this is how we're going to have to do it for the next couple of weeks. I won't be able to see your face, but trust that you all are doing well. I wanted to read to you just a passage of Scripture that has been an encouragement to me over the last several days, but in Psalm 61, and it being a Psalm of David, the Bible says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." I was just thinking about the message from this past Wednesday night and the study that we had there in Philippians chapter 4 and how we need the peace of God that passes all understanding. We need His joy and we certainly need it in our day and our time. And what a blessing we can be a testimony and a witness of the peace of God no matter the fear and panic that is going on around us. So let's go to the Word, the Lord in prayer this morning. And let's ask God's blessing on the service. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your love for us and your grace to us. And Lord, thank you for our country. And God, we sure pray for our country today. We pray for those, Lord, that are battling this illness that has been going around, that you would give them comfort, you would give them grace, even their families. And God, we do pray for our church family, and Lord, that you would encourage them and strengthen them, and even those that are around us. Lord, maybe those that are tuning in to live stream or our online service for the very first time, just pray, God, that you would speak to them today through the messages. Encourage us, help us, Lord. We certainly need your grace and your help in this hour. So bless the service and bless the music and the preaching of your word today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have just a few announcements that I wanted to mention. I realize that there are probably a lot of questions and things that maybe our church family would have. We have been trying to do our best to get updates out via Facebook and social media, texting and things like that. But just for maybe folks that would have questions, you aren't aware about some things, I did want to mention just a few things. Certainly, the first thing would be all of the canceled activities that we have. Everything for the month of March that we had on our schedule is either going to be canceled or postponed. And for those things that we are postponing, we will wait and see what this coronavirus does and whether or not or just basically when we can reschedule those things. I also wanted to mention to our church family, I know that we have been praying and planning on our missions conference this coming year in April, the 1st through the 5th. And so that is also going to be canceled. And so, Lord willing, we will still do our faith promise commitment for the month of April. Of course, that will determine what we give to missions in the upcoming year. And so did want to let you know about that. And of course, if this extends longer and we have to cancel services and be online only for another week or so, we may look at possibly extending that out. And as of right now, I did want to mention to those ladies that are signed up for the ladies retreat up in St. Joe, Missouri, at Riverside Baptist Church. And that's April the 17th and 18th. And as of right now, that is still in the plan to go ahead. But of course, we know that that too is subject to change. I did also want to update you on our services. We will be online only for the next 2 weeks. Okay, so that's online only. We are scheduled to resume our normal services on Sunday, April the 5th. And again, that's Sunday, April the 5th. And of course, that too is subject to change. As of right now, all of our services will be available on our website, and that's faithbaptistolathe.org. And I did want to make sure that our people understood that the services are going to be Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. There will not be any Sunday school services or anything like that. So it'll be Sunday morning only, and then Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. And I did want to just remind you, Sunday evening, we normally have services at 6:30. We're going to go ahead and move those up to 6 p.m. And all of those services will either be pre-recorded videos or they will be live stream whenever we are able to do that when we get the necessary equipment. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that we have had several folks have questions about giving, and I'm very thankful for that. We certainly want to keep up with things here at Faith Baptist Church as well as the commitments that we've made to our missionaries. And so for those that would be wondering about that, you can certainly mail it in. Our address is on our website, and many of you may already know it as well. You can drop it off. And I will say this, that considering that Faith Baptist School is also closed right now, that if you would like to drop it off, you probably need to do that on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday during the week. That way we'll know for sure that people are going to be here in the building. And then we also now, with our website that has been redone, you are able to give online. And so I do want to say publicly a thank you to Brother Seth and Miss Christy Wisdom that have put in a lot of hard work over the last few days behind the scenes and getting all of that done. And so very, very thankful for that. If you have any other questions or anything like that, you can certainly call up here to the church, email us or anything like that, and we will certainly be glad to help you with anything that we can. We understand these are strange times, but I know this, God is still on the throne, and so don't be discouraged. Certainly tune in to the services, hear the special music, and be encouraged from the Word of God, and pray for one another, communicate with one another the best that we can. And I believe the Lord will get us through all of these things, and I believe we'll be better off for it. We'll certainly have greater faith in Him. Amen. And so at this time, Brother Eric and Miss Phyllis Watson are going to come and do a special for us this morning. To amaze me that even when we're doing something like this online, that God just puts the music right together with the message from His Word. And so I want to invite you this morning to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 18 this morning. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 18. We are going to continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. For those of you that might be joining for the very first time, we just typically preach expositorily around here. And so we pick out a book that the Lord would have us to go through. And we go down through it verse by verse. We've been doing the Gospel of Matthew now for quite some time. We've made it to chapter number 18. And so the Bible says in verse number 1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And I believe it would be safe to say that the reason that they're asking him this is because they were discussing it among themselves, as the Bible would show us that they oftentimes did. And in verse number 2 it says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now it's interesting that the last time we left our study in the Gospel of Matthew, we finished up chapter number 17 by seeing the example of our Savior in guarding His testimony. Though He didn't have to pay the tribute tax because it was both voluntary, but even more importantly because it was for His Father's house, meaning the temple, meaning that He is the Son of God, He didn't have to pay it. However, because He did not want to offend those in Capernaum there and be a stumbling block that would hinder them from receiving the gospel, He went ahead and paid it, humbled Himself and went ahead and paid it. But now you and I get into chapter number 18 and we find that while this was going on with Peter and the Lord Jesus, the rest of the disciples are sitting around and arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so when they come to the Lord Jesus asking Him this, He takes a little child and then begins to give them a powerful lesson on who will be the greatest. I think this is what you and I though need to see this morning. It's really not a who, but a what. And what I mean by that is that this lesson here to the disciples is not so much about this child personally, but rather the characteristic that the child possessed and that they too needed to possess, and that's this: humility. And therefore, if you and I want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you and I want to be used greatly in the kingdom of God, then we too must humble ourselves. You know, immediately something that the thought that popped into my mind was this, is that this is a powerful reminder that God's economy is not like our economy. If you want to be the best, if you want the best from God, and you want to be the best for God, then it's not about you being a better you. Kind of seems like somebody wrote a book about that here lately. It's not about that. No, it's not. It's not. It's about being less of you. It's about having humility and brokenness, dying to self. Well, what? Because that's when you and I can be filled with Him and be used of Him in a mighty way. I titled the lesson or the message this morning, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Certainly from the question that the disciples had. But really, I think that the better question that we should ask ourselves is this: how is our humility? And I know, you know, the saying, "Well, I'm so humble, I'm proud of it." And we joke about those things, but the truth is, I think it's an honest question that you and I need to ask, because if we desire to be the greatest that God would have us to be in His kingdom, which I think is a desire that we should have, then it's not obtained in the way that we think in exalting ourselves, but rather it's obtained by humbling ourselves. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, we sure thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for our study. Thank You, Lord, even for technology. How oftentimes it does bring a lot of complication into our lives, but at the same time, Lord, it can certainly be a tool that you can use for your glory. And so thankful that we can do something like this and be a blessing to our church family. And so trust, Lord, you'll use it. Trust you'll use the message. And Lord, I know that I need your grace this morning, your help as I preach the message, to those that would be listening in. So Lord, guide me this morning. Give me clarity in my mind and use me for your honor and glory. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I found some of these things while I was studying for this message, and I thought it would maybe give us a little bit of a chuckle this morning, but it's entitled Advice from Children. And so I'm just going to read down through some of these things that were given. One of them said this: don't let your mom brush your hair when she is mad at your dad. It's good advice. Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. It's good advice. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. For those cat lovers, I guess that would be for you. Sometimes the best one in the play has the fewest lines. I thought that this one was very good and maybe has a little bit of a life lesson to it. Sometimes your best move is blocked by your own checkers. That's pretty good. Don't say that the last one is a rotten egg unless you're absolutely sure there's a slower kid behind you. If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. You can't start over just because you're losing the game. That's good life advice, isn't it? If you want someone to listen to you, then whisper. Silence can be an answer. That's really good advice in our day and time. When you want something expensive, ask your grandparents. I like this one. Never try to baptize a cat. That's a pretty good one, too. When your dad is mad and asks, do I look dumb? Do not answer him. Amen. Never tell your mom her diet is not working. That's good advice. Now, some of those give us a chuckle, but at the same time, some of those give us some pretty good life lessons. But here's the point in seeing all of this advice, if you would, from children. See, most of the time we think of children as those that must be taught by us, but we also must understand that there are also those instances where we can learn a lot from our children. And that is exactly what the Lord Jesus is doing with the disciples in our text, where they are full of pride. The Lord Jesus calls a little child unto Him, most likely around the age of 5 or 6 or 7 years old, and sets Him in the midst of them as a living illustration of what they need to learn in their own lives, which is the subject of humility. Think about the qualities that a child often exemplifies that really us adults need to improve on in our own lives, even in the Christian life and in the spiritual life. Think about these things. Think about this. Children trust. They believe everything that you tell them. Yet we struggle to trust our Heavenly Father and believe on His Word. I think about the things that are going on in our day and time. And if there ever was a time where God's people need to bank on His Word, now would be it. Devotion. Children genuinely and willingly express love. Yet we often view this as a sign of weakness among adults. Conformity. Children follow all that we do. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not so good. But yet think about us as adults and how we have such a difficult time following the example of our Savior. Yet we see His example time and time again in the Scriptures. Honesty. Children speak their mind, don't they? Even the Lord Jesus would say something like, out of the mouth of babes, to demonstrate that truth. And like adults, sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes that's not a good thing. But I think even as an adult myself, how we struggle with communication, maybe between spouses, or maybe between pastor and church member, or family member, and or whatever the case may be. And we
We want those around us to be mind readers when really, you know what? We just need to be honest and communicate in a godly fashion at times. I thought about this. Children understand the potential for learning. Most children realize they don't know it all, and therefore they have this desire and thirst to learn. And would to God us adults would realize we don't know it all. And last of all would be our subject of humility. Children know who and what they are. They know and realize they are dependent upon their parents. They know that they are weak. They know that they are unlearned and limited to most things in life. And when it comes to the humility of children, it would do us good as adults to learn as the disciples needed here. Now, as we get into our text this morning, I do want to do something that I often do in preaching, and that's just to just step back, if you would, and maybe give us some preliminary thoughts about our disciples here that maybe sometimes we don't see. Certainly one of those would be this: there is balance here. This is one of my favorite terms in ministry, but as with most everything, there is balance. Even with children, children can certainly teach us some things about humility, but I know this as a parent, children can also express pride and stubbornness, being strong-willed, those kind of things, just like us adults. And though children can certainly teach us adults some things, I do think it needs to be said that children are not to rule the home. That they're still children. They're not to be in authority. But I also thought about this balance could also be brought out with our disciples in this scene as they desire to know who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And think about this personally. The fact that they were seeking to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, I think that that's to be commended of them. And I don't think maybe we think that oftentimes, but here's the thing. The problem was the way that they were going about it, meaning their heart attitude. But if you'll notice, the Lord never rebukes them for pursuing to be the greatest. He simply shows them that they were doing it the wrong way. I think that's pretty interesting to point out. I mean, Listen, it's important to point out, especially in a day where apathy in spiritual things just seems to abound so much in Christianity. You know, I underlined this in my notes, and you can take it for what you will. But I wrote down this: nowhere in the Bible is God ever pleased with pride, but neither is He pleased with nominal Christianity. And you and I won't see, listen, you and I won't see people in heaven rejoicing over the fact that, well, I just made it here by the skin of my teeth, as if to say I barely made it in. No, I don't think there'll be that at all. In fact, I think there will be much regret and many tears because of so many wishing that they would have done more for God instead of going through their Christian life in spiritual apathy. And the truth is, really, that too is a result of pride when you think about it. The second thing, though, I think that is really something that stuck out to me is this, is that the disciples show us that you can be in the right place outwardly, but in the wrong place inwardly. I mean, you think about this as you begin chapter number 18. It opens up with that phrase, that little phrase, "at the same time." That reminds us of how this is tied into chapter 17 and where the Lord Jesus had dealt with this tribute tax, if you will. And so this reminds us that they were in the same place as the Lord Jesus. They were still following Him faithfully. However, it also reminds us that while they were where they were supposed to be outwardly, they were not where they were supposed to be inwardly. And think about this, at the same time, does remind us of what was already mentioned about Christ here in dealing with this tribute tax that was not required, nor should it have been paid by Him being the Son of God. But watch this, yet He humbled Himself as an example, humbled Himself and put the needs of others before Himself. But yet here are disciples watching all of this, in the right place, doing the right things, But yet they were not following the example of Jesus Christ in His humility. You know, couldn't we say the same things about our own selves at times? I know that I could. We're in our place at church. Outwardly speaking, we're doing all the things that we as God's people know to do. We've got our Bibles. We're dressing like we're supposed to. We're honoring our God. We know all the right things to say and so on and so forth. But yet on the, listen, and on the outside we have one thing, but yet in the inner man there's not a humility and a brokenness and a real walk with our God. The disciples remind us here of how susceptible we can be on the outside, or how susceptible we can be to the outside elements and influences of our world rather than the example of Christ in the Word of God. You know, you think about this, the attitudes around them. I mean, listen, this is Pharisee 101 right here. This was the influences of their day. By the way, I would say this is even an attitude of the Roman Empire, how they prided themselves being the greatest empire of the then known world. And you think about it and apply that to our day and time. Folks, let's face it, we're not living in a culture of humility. This is not, humility is not a characteristic that naturally comes forth from the world. See, like the Roman Empire, our nation prides itself on being the best. And don't get me wrong, while I am thankful for our country and do tend to agree that it is the best, I want to say this, we'd be much better off humbling ourselves and getting back right with God, because it's He that made us the best anyways. I would also say this, that we live in a culture that not only promotes pride and rebellion and exalting oneself, it celebrates it. Even false religion, Hollywood, politicians, oh my, social media, and the list goes on and on. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is this, is that as we look at our disciples here, I don't think that it would be a strange thing for us to look at this, and though we would say, well, who in the world would sit around and argue about who is the greatest? Well, we may not say that outwardly, but I will say this, I do believe that we struggle with the subject of humility inwardly. And I think that we would certainly be able to relate a little bit to the disciples. I believe this, we could certainly say that we can oftentimes be in the right places outwardly, but in the wrong place inwardly much of the time. And so therefore, I do believe we need this lesson this morning. If you'll notice in verse number 2 there, as already mentioned, it says Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of him, or midst of them rather, Himself and the disciples. But then in verses 3 and 4, the Lord Jesus gives His disciples two powerful principles on humility that I want us to see this morning. Number one, without humility, you cannot be saved. Without humility, you cannot be saved. I want you to notice what it says there in verse 3. It says, and I mean, this is the first thing out of His mouth, and I believe this is important to note, because you're never going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ without first being saved. So you have to be saved. And notice what He says here, and He said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I believe that's talking about salvation. In fact, I even wrote down in my notes, if you think about it, this is almost verbatim what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, the Pharisee, in John chapter 3. He said in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And notice, there is that commonality with the idea of children in these two verses. I mean, you see it right here in our text, but even in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, speaking about children. But I think the other thing to note there is the common usage of the word except in both of those verses. Except a man be born again. Except ye be converted and become as little children. That means that unless we are born again, we cannot... Listen, we will not go to heaven when we die. Except we be born again. And even our verse here in Matthew's Gospel, it certainly would show us that being born again, meaning what the Bible says to be saved or forgiven of our sins and receiving the promise of eternal life. Well, the reality is it is based upon the condition of the heart. Humility, if you will, is truly the gate to biblical faith in Christ and being born again. Man is saved. Now think about this. Man is saved from the punishment of his sins when he obeys the Word of God and does what God says to do in dealing with his sin. And here's what God says to do. Simply this. Come to Jesus Christ by faith. Believe on Him. His death and burial and resurrection. It's as simple as what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now watch this. For with the heart, the inner man, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But I believe this, that Christ, this is the point that Christ is making in our text. And I want you to listen to this. So man is not saved until he does what God says to do in His Word in dealing with his sin. But here's the idea. Man will not do this until he humbles himself as a little child and submits himself to what God has said in His Word. That's what he's saying right there. Now, I will say this, that certainly, number one, you need to know this, that man cannot be saved through his works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that we often quote around here again, is, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm just telling you, when we get to heaven, nobody's going to be bragging about what they've done to get there. We're going to be praising the Lord for what He done so that we might be saved. See, though, the reason that I point this out, and I want you to watch this, the reason that I point this out is because here's what happens. When man refuses to humble himself to the Word of God, he usually comes up with his own ways to appeal to God. And it always involves his own works. In fact, you can go back to the very first time that man sinned in the garden. And you can see the example of this. When Adam and Eve sinned, the very first thing that they did when they realized they were naked in sin is that they tried to cover themselves up. But when God showed up, He showed us that that was not good enough and that He covered them in coats of skin, meaning this, that blood had to have been shed for their sin. Why is that? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins, the Bible says. So you and I have to understand something this morning. Being a good person is not enough to get you and I into heaven. There are no scales at the pearly gates that are going to weigh out our good with our bad. And you know, the truth is, according to the Scriptures, our good's never going to outweigh our bad. Because even all of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. But you even think about spiritual things. I mean, you think about things in the Scriptures and works in the Scriptures that God's people are commanded to do once they get saved. Things like being baptized or joining a church or partaking of the Lord's Supper. Let me help you with something. None of those things get you into heaven. That's right. None of those things. Nowhere in the Bible are infants baptized in order to be saved. No, nowhere in the Scriptures are people confirmed, if you will, by a church so that they go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does the unleavened bread and the unfermented grape juice turn into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, that is all nonsense. That is made up works by man's false religion.
That's right.
Let me tell you what Jesus Christ Himself said. You know, the author and finisher of our faith. And so therefore, He determines what it is or who it is that gets us into heaven. And Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I mean, notice that He says He's not a way or a truth or a... No, He's the way and the truth and the life. And so therefore, unless man humbles himself and comes to Jesus Christ by faith, he cannot be saved. And by the way, I do want to say this. Salvation is not complicated, but neither is it convenient. Listen, this is not some 1, 2, 3, repeat after me thing either. And I think, we need to make that clear in our day and time. This is not something where we just repeat some meaningless prayer that the religious crowd has for us to say. I think this needs to be made very clear that there are no magic words that get us into heaven. Salvation is based upon the condition of the heart. It's our humility to the Word of God and in doing what it says to do to deal with our sin, which is to come to Jesus Christ. Salvation is more than just accepting the fact that there is a God. It's putting our personal faith in Him. It is, as the Bible says, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to humble ourselves and recognize our sinful condition before God, but also to trust in what God done for us in salvation, which is His Son, Jesus Christ, and the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary. That's salvation. And I know that maybe this would seem strange that here is the Lord Jesus, and He immediately goes into salvation among His disciples, men that we would say are saved. But I think that you and I also need to know this, that just as the disciples were in the right place physically, but in the wrong place spiritually, there was also one of them that was lost as well. I mean, think about that. Judas Iscariot. And what a powerful reminder that people can sit under the truth of the gospel time and time and time again, yet refuse to humble themselves and truly be born again. All the while they go through the motions of what the saved do on the outside. I want to say to you, if you're listening via the internet this morning, and there has never been a time and place that you can go back to in your mind's eye where you humbled yourself before God and you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His name in salvation. And my friend, you are truly lost. And you need to be saved. And I beg of you to come to Jesus Christ, to humble yourself and to come to Him. Because here's the wonderful truth about this. No matter what you've done, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will in no wise cast you out. You can come to Him and be saved. Listen, don't die and spend eternity in hell based on pride. And I know that, you know, and I've heard people say, well, it's a very hard thing to swallow my pride, but I like what one preacher said, yes, but I've never seen anybody choke to death doing it. And it would be so very worth it for you in eternity to go ahead and swallow the pride. And humble yourself to the truth of the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ Himself and come to Him His way, by faith, trusting in Him. And I'm telling you, you can be saved. But I also know this. This isn't just a message of salvation. There is a message here to the disciples. And what I believe the next principle is saying is this, is that without humility, you cannot be superior in the kingdom of heaven. You can't be the greatest. Look at what it says in verse number 4. He says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As I already mentioned, this whole passage reminds us of how different God's economy truly is compared to our own. I wrote down something that a commentator pinned down, and I just wanted to give it to you. And it says this, to be first is to be last. To be somebody is to be nobody. To be exalted is to be abased. To be big is to be small. To be famous is to be unknown. To be strong is to be weak. To be profound is to be simple. And to be great is to be humble. To the disciple of Christ listening, the things that we sometimes desire are obtained by doing the opposite of what the world says to do. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then you have to have humility. And you know, as I thought about this, I really think that there are probably a host of reasons as to why humility leads to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. But I wrote down two things that the Lord impressed upon me, and I really believe that these are maybe, if we could say it like this, two primary reasons as to why. And here's what I wrote down. Number one is this: humility leads to obedience to God's Word. And you think about it. I mean, humility, now listen, humility is that quality whereby we are submissive to our authorities. Yeah, we definitely have a humility problem in our day and time, don't we? Because we have an authority problem in our society today. And here's why: we're missing humility. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that when we are submissive to God and His Word and we obey Him, then I'm telling you that leads to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Listen, God blesses those who honor and keep His Word. Life is not perfect. It is not without its problems. We understand that. But I'm telling you, God blesses and honors those that keep His Word. You need to know this morning. There are some things that God still requires of us, even after we've been saved. There are. These things do not determine our relationship with Him. That's already sealed and settled in the blood of Jesus Christ. And praise God for that. But these things do determine our fellowship with Him and the blessings of God on our lives. And there are some things that God says we are to do and some things God says not to do. I think that one of those things would be this, that once you are saved, that you need to follow the Lord in baptism. I mean, that's the very first step of a believer once they have been saved. They're to follow Christ in baptism. This was not only the example of Jesus Christ, but this was the commandment of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this was the example of New Testament believers within the Scriptures. They got saved by believing Jesus Christ by faith, and then they followed the Lord in baptism. They didn't get baptized in order to be saved. They got baptized because they had already been saved. In fact, I would say to you that the next thing that needs to happen, and is certainly part of that baptism, is being a part of one of the Lord's churches. And according to Scripture, baptism makes you a member of a New Testament church. And I will say this, and I know that the members of Faith Baptist Church would agree with me, I believe that authority matters in baptism. I personally believe that if you're going to be a member of one of the Lord's churches, then it ought to be an independent, fundamental, devil-hating, mission-minded, King James-only, Bible-believing Baptist church. And we can certainly list the rest of them, the non-charismatic, non-Calvinistic, and so on. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that if you're going to be a Baptist, then you need Baptist baptism. But here's the point. Once you are baptized and you are part of one of the Lord's churches, then you need to attend it faithfully. You need to be in your place Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You need to tithe to it. You need to give the missions through it. You need to serve the Lord in it. You need to be involved. And even when the coronavirus is going on, it'd be good for us to tune in to the preaching of God's Word. And text one another and call one another and encourage one another while we can. I think the other thing would be this: separation from the world. I don't know whether people today want to disagree with this or not. This is not up for debate. The Bible commands it. God commands it. It is part of New Testament doctrine. and our language and our dress and the places we go and the things we do, it ought to change and fall under the standards of the Word of God. And again, all of these things, they're not up for debate. These are the things that God has laid out for in His Word for us to do once we've been saved. Yes, there are other things that we could certainly look at, but I'm just saying to you that these are some of the things that God has commanded, that Christ has commanded and declared that we keep. And what I have found in my own life is this, is that when we do these things, you know what happens? God blesses. God loves and cares for His own. He is faithful. And I'm just saying to you, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you, preacher, I want to be blessed. I want to have God's hand on my life. Well, let me help you with that. Make Him preeminent in your life. Humble yourself and submit yourself to God and His Word. And guess what? You'll find God's hand being all over your life. I know that I can certainly testify of that in my family. But here's the other thing that's interesting that I thought of. I mean, you think about this, humility leads to being filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God. The subject of greatness doesn't just cause me to think about the blessings of God, but it certainly causes me to think about the power of God. And having God's power on your life is not obtained by exalting yourself. It is obtained by dying to self and being filled with the Spirit of God. These disciples, by the way, these disciples, they will become great in the kingdom of heaven, especially in the book of Acts. And it's not because they start priding themselves on who they are, but rather because they humble themselves and they are filled with His Spirit and God uses them in a mighty way. And think about it. This fits. I mean, the subject of humility, it fits right in with the biblical principle and how to be filled with the Spirit of God. You and I know this, Faith Baptist Church, that we're not to be filled with the Spirit of God. That does not mean us getting more of Him. You get all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get at the moment of salvation. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit of God is Him getting more of us. Amen. Well, how does that happen? Humility. Humbling ourselves. I like what James chapter 4 says. It's one of my favorite passages in the Scriptures. I often go back and preach this for revival meetings and things like that. But here's why it's become a favorite passage to me, is because it speaks to where I am oftentimes internally being filled with pride and those kind of things. And verses, James chapter 4 and verses 6 through 10 says this, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith," now listen to this, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Watch this. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." What a great passage. But it's the idea of saying this, that humility brings us into right fellowship with God. Humility draws us close to God. Humility puts us in a place where we can be a vessel God can use. There are some other verses in the Scriptures that I wrote down that are some of my favorites that deal with the subject of humility, especially over in the Old Testament. But this is not something that was needed to be learned in the New Testament. This is all throughout the Scriptures because man has a tendency to be full of pride. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, it says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one." Listen to this. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. I'm just saying to you this morning that God's power does not come without first being in God's presence. Those two things are never separated. And so therefore, if you want God's power, you have to get into God's presence. And my friend, you don't get into God's presence by exalting yourself. You get into God's presence by humbling yourself and being low. There have been a bunch of times where as a parent, I learned some valuable lessons from my children. And I think right here is a valuable lesson from this child that the Lord Jesus has in the midst of His disciples that every one of us need to learn. Humility. Brokenness. Being of a contrite heart. Listen, if you're sitting there this morning and wrestling with all of this fear and panic and chaos and mayhem that is going on in our society and in our culture, and you're getting it on the news and you're getting it in social media and you're getting it, let me help you with something. If you want to get back that peace and that right walk with God and that closeness with Him, then here's what you need to do. Turn all of that junk off and go and get in your prayer closet and get low and get broken and get humbled before God. Because that's when you get in His presence. And that's when you have His power on your life. Amen. And I'm saying to you, if there ever was a time and place where God's people need to be the witnesses and the testimonies of His peace and His joy and His grace, now is that time. So I think the fair question for us to ask this morning is this. How is your humility? How is the inner man? You know, we can do a great job of making everything look right on the outside. But the Lord Jesus always deals with that inside. How is your humility? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that You would speak to God's people, that You would challenge us this morning. Maybe there's some folks listening via the internet, and just right there in their living room, they need to bow the heart, make an altar, whatever the case would be, maybe a family altar, and just spend some time praying, seeking your face, Lord, and humbling ourselves before You. And I certainly pray for those that are listening, and there's never been a time and place where they've called upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask You that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and drive the seed home, Lord, and draw them in their need to be saved. And that they would call upon the Lord and be saved. So, Lord, bless the preaching and bless the Word of God this morning. Speak to Your people and those that are lost and have Your will and way. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, don't forget about, we'll be online for the next couple of weeks. And so make sure that you tune in to our website, Faith Baptist Church, or faithbaptistolatha.org, and we'd love to hear from you. So Lord bless you till we see you again.